Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're going to do something a little different for the final segment of our show today. It's Tuesday, December 1st, Giving Tuesday, and a lot of our member stations, our public radio stations here in Illinois, are asking you to support your local public radio station. I'm not going to give out a phone number or a particular website because we are aired on stations across Illinois, but I would urge you, you know what station you're listening to now. Go to their website, click that donate button along the top of the page, or call the number that you're going to hear after this show to support your public radio station. And so for Giving Tuesday, we thought we'd try something a little different. We're going to revisit some moments from our favorite, or at least most important and poignant conversations we've had this year. For that, I'm joined by two producers from the 21st, Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Brian. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here on the other side of the Zoom call.
We have been having a lot of conversations about the pandemic this year. Obviously, it is the major news story. A lot of those conversations are around health and mental health in particular, including sleep. And you produced a segment back in May related to COVID-19 dreams. Tell us about that.
Yeah, definitely. So there have actually been studies where people have reported having more vivid dreams since the start of the pandemic. So we wanted to talk about this on the show with a sleep specialist and also see if there was any sort of truth to that and get some tips for how we can sleep better during this very stressful year. That might be an understatement, but one of the great things about the show just in the last few months, and especially as more people are at home, is that we're hearing a lot from listeners and we love to get audience engagement. And for that sleep segment, we actually started with a voicemail from a listener named Max. And here is what Max had to say about his dream.
I had a dream that I was cutting my hair and I cut the whole top off and I was bald. And I was cutting it with snippers.
I think an 8-year-old with a Friar Tuck qualifies as a nightmare, but that's just me.
Yeah, so he shared his nightmare with us, and we wanted to pose that question to Dr. James Wyatt. He's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Rush University Medical Center. He studies sleep, so this is really his area of expertise. So we asked him if people were having more vivid dreams during the pandemic and if there was anything that we could read into them. And he said that he doesn't really assign a lot of psychological significance to dreams, so we didn't get into dream interpretation. But he did say that, you know, a lot of whether or not we remember our dreams depends on our sleep cycle and has a lot to do with memory processing. So here's what he did say about pandemic dreams.
One of the factors that I'm concerned about is with more people reporting more dreams. Oftentimes, if you're reporting more dreams, what if, and it's sudden change, for example, in your sleep, what if that means your sleep is becoming a little more fragmented? Because perhaps you're sleeping at different times than you normally would have, or you're under greater stress, or maybe there are more people in the home as, let's say, college kids have come back to home. So it's not always a good sign to have more dreams.
Fascinating conversation, Anna. I remember that one well. It was part of a series we were doing back in the early days of the pandemic focused on mental health. Mm-hmm. And it's something we've been bringing back a little bit more as the pandemic has been unfortunately ramping up again. Another great thing about working on the 21st is getting to work with students at the University of Illinois, where Illinois Public Media is based. Students like Eunice Alpesan, Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Skullark, and Chantal Vaca. And we asked about their most memorable moments, and Chantal sent us this voice memo.
Of all the important conversations that the 21st had this year, my favorite one was with Myra Ramirez, who was the first known COVID-19 patient in the U.S. to receive a double lung transplant. This conversation with Myra was my favorite one this year because we heard about her experience contracting the virus and surviving 6 weeks on life support.
I'm still the same person. I don't plan on changing who I am. However, I do feel that I have a purpose and I was provided the second chance for a reason, whether that is to be an example for the medical community or if it's simply to share my story and let people know the severity of this virus and how it is real and how if it affected me, it can affect them. And, you know, if they don't want to take care of themselves, at least do it for those more vulnerable around themselves. And if that's my purpose, then I'm okay with that. But I still plan on enjoying my family, enjoying my dogs, spending time with my boyfriend, and living life to the fullest through my line of work and helping in the community.
I hope that this conversation with Myra provided listeners with an inside look at what it's like to be sick with COVID-19. And I hope that by listening to her story, it prompted listeners to take precautions and follow the CDC guidelines for social distancing and wearing masks as we navigate further through this pandemic.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. That was one of our interns, Chantel Vaca, introducing a clip from Myra Ramirez, who was interviewed on the program earlier this year. She's thought to be the first double lung transplant recipient with a case related to COVID-19. We're revisiting some of our favorite segments today in the hopes that it will inspire you on this Giving Tuesday to support your local public radio station, wherever you are hearing us now. Please visit their website, look for the donate button at the top of the page, and know that your support of your local public radio station makes not only the 21st, but everything on public radio possible. In addition to covering COVID-19 this year, one of the other big stories we were following has to do with police violence and the quest for racial justice. And even before the police killing of George Floyd ignited the national protests and conversation on this topic, we had the opportunity to hear from a young man here in Illinois about his experience with the police. And our news director here at Illinois Public Media, Reginald Hardwick, shared with us why this segment moved him.
Jalen Butler is a student and member of the swim team at Eastern Illinois University. In February 2019, his team was headed back to EIU from a meet in South Dakota. The team stopped at a highway rest area in Rock Island County. Butler was the only African-American on the bus. He was taking a selfie to post on social media while wearing his university coat when police officers descended on the rest area searching for a fugitive. In February of this year, Butler told the 21st show what happened while officers forced him to lie face down in the snow.
One officer had his knee in my lower back. Another with his knee on my neck. I was being handcuffed. I was on the ground, laid down, trying to express that I was on the swim team. I kept saying, I'm on the swim team, on EIU swim team. My bus is right over there. I kept trying to get them to understand that I was on the swim team and that I couldn't have possibly done anything wrong. After I said all that, another officer kind of knelt down beside me and placed his handgun up to my forehead and told me that if I kept moving, he'll blow my head off.
Jalen Butler was placed in police custody, even as employees of Eastern Illinois University vouched for his identity. Butler, who is 5 feet 10 inches tall, was released. Later, police arrested another black man who was 8 inches taller and 70 pounds heavier. I chose this segment to highlight because at the 21st, we are not afraid of talking about the issues of race and social justice. Butler chose few outlets to share his story, and we were one of them. Later this year, as protests rose after the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, the 21st talked about the role of race and ethnicity and how Illinoisans see each other today and in the future. It's a discussion that our team believes is important. We hope your support will help us continue those calm, respectful conversations on the 21st.
Thank you, Reginald. Back in studio, or at least in our virtual studio, everything is done by Zoom these days. I want to talk now with producer Ryan Wild about one of his favorite segments from this year. It also came in the wake of the mass protests and calls for racial equity and justice this summer. Ryan.
Sure, Brian. So I think some of my favorite segments on the 21st are the conversations that really explore the human side of news stories in ways that you might not hear or read elsewhere. And I think a really good example of how we strive to do that here is from a segment we did back in June. So one thing that was born out of that moment was this reevaluation and reckoning that we saw with longstanding racist stereotypes from brands like Aunt Jemima, and even right here at the University of Illinois with the controversial mascot. And at the time, there was a lot of news coverage about Quaker's decision to pull the Aunt Jemima brand. And here on the 21st, I feel like where our coverage really stood out amongst the rest was that we were able to connect with a member of her family, Marcus Hayes, who was a descendant of Nancy Green. So here's a clip of Marcus sharing this very human side of Nancy Green.
Sure. So I am her great nephew. It would be like great to the sixth power. That's who I am. And who she was, I mean, she was a mother, a sister, a niece. She was a woman who made the best out of her situation. She was born into something that she didn't ask for, but made the best out of it. She used what she knew to make sure that her family at the time was taken care of, to provide, while still being looked at as less than human. She was looked at as property. So she was more than just what we see today. She founded one of the oldest churches in Chicago at Olivet Baptist Church. She used the money that she had for the community. She was a voice for equality. She was way more than what we could ever perceive her to be from a box.
Anna, last clip goes to you. The conversation about the brand Aunt Jemima and the real life woman Nancy Green is just one of many conversations we had about race and racism. One of those was specifically about racism as a public health issue. Can you talk about this last clip we're going to hear today?
Yeah. So after the death of Ahmaud Arbery, the young Black man in Georgia who was killed by two white men when he was out jogging, we had a conversation on the show with Kurt Streeter, who's a New York Times reporter who covers sports. And he wrote a column called Running While Black. And on the show with him was Helen Neville, a professor of African American Studies and Educational Psychology at the University of Illinois. And she was describing in academic terms kind of, you know, the effects of racial trauma and how that can manifest, and sort of describing the impact of systemic racism on mental health. But she shared this personal story that really stuck out to me. And this is what she said.
I took our granddaughter, who lives with us, was 12 at the time. We went hiking in a beautiful little area that's about 30 minutes away from Champaign-Urbana. And I decided to treat her and one of her friends to lunch. And we stop off at this little diner. It was really cute. But my granddaughter was raised in Georgia, much like the place where, you know, when we're talking about Ahmaud Arbery. And she's like, I don't feel safe in this little town. I don't want to go into the restaurant. So I convinced her to go in. And for the entire time that she's eating, she's telling me how scared she is, how she doesn't know what's going to happen, how they don't stop off in towns like this in Georgia. And she was so worked up that after we ate and were leaving, she was vomiting. So this idea of what we're experiencing, it's impacting our youth too, because they don't have some of the coping mechanisms that we have built up over time.
Well, what a powerful story. Thanks for bringing that clip with you today, Anna. And we're going to have to leave it there. I just want to say thank you so much, not only for being with me today, Anna Casey and Ryan Wild, but helping produce what is a really powerful show day in, day out, week after week, through what has been an incredible, incredible year for news.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. We'll see you on Zoom later.
Always on Zoom. And that is it for this Giving Tuesday special segment. One last time, I'm going to ask you to visit the website of the station on which you're listening to us now. Look for that donate link near the top of the page and support your public radio station. I do. I actually support more than one public radio station. We're asking you to support public radio because it helps keep programs like the 21st freely available to you and everyone else in our Illinois communities. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. Thank you for supporting public radio.